محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله.
استووا أقيموا صفوفكم وتراصوا وصدوا الخلل كان يشوف من الروس إن شاء الله no gaps in between and can you keep a mobile phone silent.
الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده
الله أكبر الله أكبر
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
After the remaining adhkar, there will be a short reminder, inshallah. All brothers are requested to participate. Jazakumullah. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ما بعد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون صدق الله العظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا الا ما علمتنا انك انت العليم الحكيم ربي يسر ولا تعسر وتمم بالخير بك نستعين يا فتاح يا فتاح يا فتاح. Respected brothers, elders, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So we've been talking about the main purpose of Ramadan, which is this attainment of taqwa, and we've already spoken at a lot of discussion, a lot of length regarding its importance and significance, and how we all should aspire to it, and how it's one of the most fundamental things for a Muslim to try to bring into his life. So we're going through this little journey, inshallah, to see how we can now go about bringing taqwa into our lives. So the author, he continues and he mentions that taqwa is not going to be accessible or attainable unless we start refraining from sins. For a person to have taqwa, then there should be a real effort to stop every sin that he may be involved with. And the example is very, very easy. And this is something that one of my teachers would mention, that when you have a football game, football match, then taqwa is very similar in the sense that in order to have a chance of winning, you must make sure that you have a good defense. Your defense should be strong. And there was the famous Chelsea squad from Jose Mourinho era, where they had roughly, was it 15 goals scored against them or something like this? A very few amount of goals were scored against that title-winning team, and they ended up winning the championship because it was built on the defense that they had at the time. So as long as the score is nil-nil, at least you're not going to lose. At least minimum, you're going to draw. And then at least a draw is a plus 1 point, whereas a loss is zero. So you're making some type of progress at least. So this is the fundamental aspect of taqwa, that you must start off with abandoning all sins. So he says, اعلم أن التقوى لا تحصل إلا باجتناب المنكرات والمنهي عنها. That what I've just mentioned, that taqwa is not attainable unless by when you refrain from all the evil sins and whatever has been prohibited from. والإتيان بالمعروفات. And taqwa is also that you bring all the good actions into your life and any command that have been commanded upon you. Because إذ ترك المأمور به مما يستحق به العقوبة. So referring to anything that you are commanded to do, abandoning so, leaving things that you've been commanded to do, is also worthy of a type of consequence. It's also a type of consequence. And sometimes we don't kind of word it as such. For example, a person delaying his salah, a person being quite, you know, negligent in his fasting, or any other actions that a person is commanded to do, we don't see it as a sin, but it actually is. So the absence of any commands that we are not fulfilling, this is also a person committing a sin. So then he goes on to mention that al-munkar imma makhsusun bi'udwin mu'ayyanin aw la, that evil sins are either attached and associated to particular limbs, or it could be some things besides that. And in regards to the actions or the sins which are associated to limbs, then these are of eight types, which are the heart, qalb, wa udhun, the ears, وعين, the eyes, ولسان, the tongue, ويد, hands, وبطن, the stomach, وفرج, your private area, ورجل, and your legs. So these eight limbs, these organs, they are all the sort of point of activity where other sins are now branching out from here. So what the author does, subhanAllah, is very, very amazing. He goes through all these different limbs and he mentions and outlines the different types of sins associated to these things, and what is its beginning point, how does it come about, and what are the consequences, and how is the treatment to now try to let go of these sins slowly, slowly. So inshallah, it sounds very, very interesting. But the first chapter of this is the heart, and this is something that he goes in a lot of detail, because the heart, there's so many aspects. Beginning point is disbelief, then that's associated to ignorance. And then you have matters of anger, rage. You have matters to do with jealousy, envy, and all these sort of different things. The heart is the focal point for many, many sins. So that's going to be taking up a lot of time. So then he goes on to mention that all these things are only able to now refrain from these sins if a person has a good, sound level of akhlaq. And akhlaq, we spoke about very briefly last week, that it comprises of three areas. It's the combination of three things: our speech, our level of anger, and our level of desire. And in these three things, there's the one which is the perfect balance. So for speech, the perfect balance is that person maintains a level of wisdom, hikmah. A person in his speech, he maintains wisdom. And subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Quran, وَمَن يُؤْتَ الْحِكْمَةَ فَقَدْ أُوْتِيَ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. And whoever has been bestowed wisdom, then he has surely been given a great deal of khair, of goodness in this world. It's a huge ni'mah, having wisdom. And when you look at the whole journey of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's only when he reached the age of 40 years of age, that's when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Jibreel alayhi salam with revelation. Because when we're talking about maturity and talking about being in a position to now deliver some type of advice, guidance, then maturity and of course sometimes age, it plays a part in a person organically growing towards such a position. So in that 40 years of age, there is a wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that generally speaking, a man is given this understanding, this maturity, this wisdom comes to him around the age of 40 because he has seen a lot of life, a lot of experiences. So similar, this is the advice for younger people that we should spend our early time in trying to amass as much experience, as much knowledge, beneficial knowledge, as much as possible and not be fooled and deceived by what goes on social media. Nowadays, a lot of young people that you know seem to dress like an alim or an ustaz or a sheikh, and they are in a position of now giving a lot of bayan, a lot of you know lectures and these sort of things. Sometimes we promote ourselves, we kind of impose ourselves in certain platforms, but there's a danger in that. If a person, he has not been selected or he has not gone through the leadership of his teachers and he doesn't have a connection with ulama and these sort of things and he just goes on his own journey, then this could end up misguiding a whole community. And then other people, they're going to see that this is something very interesting. He's got a large following, he's got a lot of followers, and you look at his social media, you've got you know hundreds of thousands of people following him and liking all these things, and this is something that attracts people and they want the same for them. So understanding the fact that maturity and wisdom comes at a later age, this is guidance for us young people inshallah to do things with the instructions of our seniors, our elders, our ulama, and to make sure that we ourselves are undergoing some type of training program, some type of learning ourselves. Just on that point, one more thing. When it comes to giving words of advice, then you can take advice from anyone. But when it comes to matters of sharia, for example, fiqh, for example, aqidah, for example, matters to do with what is understanding the correct sunnah, then these need to be taken from people that have been given ijazah in the field, i.e. ulama that have a chain of connection going back to all the way to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the sciences of sharia, that has to be taken from particular individuals, but whereas general admonitions, then for example one of the imams, they say فَإِنْ رَأَيْتَ عَلَى الْجِدَارِ مَوْعِذًا فَاتَّعِذْ بِهَا, that even if you see some writing on the wall, an advice on the wall, then take heed from that. Even if that's the case, you can take good counsel from any direction, but that's a separate point. So when it comes to speech, the perfect balance is wisdom. And then what are the two either sides of the wings? So there's the ifrat. Ifratuhu, to transgress, is al-jarbaza. This is deception. A person, he uses his speech in order to beguile other individuals. And he takes an interest into things which are vague. And he tries to delve into matters which are obscure. So deception. And the other opposite is al-bilada, stupidity, where a person is so, very foolish that he's not got the capacity to be able to understand or distinguish between good and evil. And then in terms of ghadab, anger, again, there's three parts. The perfect balance is a person has shuja'a. Shuja'a means bravery. That feeling, that type of anger, is that temperament is controlled in such a way that if there's a situation where our family members might be under some type of harm, then there's a bit of a feeling, there's a bit of an emotion and a level of anger that's also involved as well, that leads him to act in a responsible way, in a proactive way. So having that level of bravery. But when it transgresses, then this is called tahawur. Tahawur is when a person is reckless. That our anger shouldn't be reckless. to the point where a person, he goes on to proceed to do whatever, you know, the situation, he's been riled up and he's boiled up and he's not got that control, and then he starts speaking, but then he has no consideration the consequence of that, what he's saying in that moment. And unfortunately, a lot of times, this is what we also fall into, and we cause a lot of damage in our levels of anger. On that point, there's another hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he says, لَا يَحْكُمُ حَكْمٌ بَيْنَ اثْنَيْنِ وَهُوَ غَضْبَانِ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, that a person who is in a position of passing judgment, he should not do so whilst he's in the state of anger. Okay, whenever a person is filled with any emotion, and it doesn't necessarily need to be a point where there's an argumentation and you're passing judgment, it's in every circumstance, in every single situation where there's a conflict. If you start noticing that, you know what, I'm getting quite personally involved here now, then you need to start asking yourself, if that's the case, maybe I should just stop now. Because in that moment, you might say something which is going to have very huge repercussions. So never ever speak when you're emotionally, personally attached to a particular situation. Silence is always the best course of action. وَتَفْرِيطُهُ, and however, falling short, if this level of anger is jubn, cowardice, to be very cowardly for a person where he sees certain situations at home. For example, you know, if our family members are not praying salah, if that doesn't affect us, if that doesn't cause us any sort of disgruntlement in our hearts, that, you know, my son, my sister, my brother, you know, the whole day goes by, they're fasting, but they don't even bother to go make wudu and pray salah. Or, you know, my son's old enough and the masjid is just around the corner and he's not bothered to come to the masjid. If we're seeing all of these things over here and he doesn't have a feeling, then this is also very problematic. So to be complete opposite, where nothing phases you, this is also transgressing. So there has to be a balance. And that balance is shuja'ab, that bravery, that, you know what, you have that fire in there, but you control it in a way that is proactive. And then afterwards, the third composition of what makes our akhlaq is the level of shahwa, desire. So desire, the perfect balance of this is for a person to have iffah. Iffah is to be chaste. For a person to have some level of dignity and honor, that despite whatever invitations or temptations he is coming, he is only going to do so in a way that is permissible by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Namely, when it comes to urges and desires of sexual nature, then a person, he's able to subdue himself. He's going to wait and focus on different aspects of life until when he is ready for the time of marriage. And of course, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that whoever is not able to get married, then alayhi bisawm, then he should start fasting. فَإِنَّهُ لَهُ وِجَاءٌ. Fasting is a shield from the temptations of these urges. So iffah, chastity, to remain with some level of dignity. Now when it comes to transgressing our level of desires, then the word that is used is fujur wa sharah, and this is referring to a type of greed, a type of excessive indulgence. And sometimes this excessive indulgence, it even applies to permissible things as well. When we enjoy things beyond limits, then we're putting things into our system, and now our system becomes lazy. Worship is something very, very, you know, heavy for us. When you're always feeling filled up and you don't feel any type of hunger, then that person, you know, he's got this higher level of expectation, and through this, a lot of other bad traits and qualities start to seep into himself as well. And the opposite, a person falling short, is khumud, where a person is now deteriorating himself because he doesn't give the nafs sometimes what it needs. So in small measure, permissible things which are completely halal and fine, a person can indulge. For example, sometimes people are very, very you know, strict with their partners, their wives. You see a married couple, especially in the Bengali culture, husband and wife is like enemies. It's like they're not meant to show any type of love and affection. Like sometimes saying something nice, is a taboo in the culture. You're not allowed to express that, you know what, this wife of mine, you know, I have love for her and I care for her. You're not allowed to do that. It's shalmorzinish, you know? Obviously not any X-rated behavior, something which is completely, you know, friendly and fine. But, you know, a wife is, as we mentioned last week, the best thing that a person can benefit from in this life after taqwa is a pious and righteous woman. So you're missing out on the benefits of having a righteous wife. You're just treating them as a slave and, you know, khair. Let's carry on. So those are the three things. There is a excessive, and there's also a shortcoming in our speech, which is hikmah is the perfect balance. Then you have a person who is trying to be deceptive, and then a person who has stupidity. And then when it comes to anger, a person has bravery as the perfect balance, but falling, you know, transgressing is to be reckless, and falling short is cowardice. And then in terms of our desires, a person has the perfect balance of chastity, being dignified, and transgressing is to be greedy and trying to be, wanting to be indulgent. And then obviously the shortcoming of that is ruining our own selves. So let's carry on for a few more lines. I know we're going a bit over time today. So the author, he mentions that when it comes to treating all of these things, وَعِلَاجُهُ هُوَ مَعْرِفَةُ حَقَائِقِ الْأَمْرَاضِ, is number one, we have to understand what is the reality of these illnesses. وَغَوَائِلَهَا, what are the dangers? وَأَسْبَابَهَا, what are the causes for this? وَأَضَّادَهَا, what are the opposites? Sometimes you only understand something, you can only appreciate light when you've been moments of darkness. You can only appreciate food when you've been moments in hunger, like we are experiencing. So understanding the opposite, it goes a long way in terms of complete understanding of certain concepts. وَفَوَائِدَهَا, okay, we have to understand what are the benefits of treating these illnesses. ثُمَّ مَعْرِفَةُ وُجُودِ هَذِهِ الْأَمْرَاضِ فِي نَفْسِهِ بِالتَّفْتِيشِ, then a person has to go on a journey now as well. He has to go on a journey. He has to now see what are the illnesses that he has in his own self. And he has to investigate. وَالتَّأَمُّلْ, and he has to ponder. وَاخْتِيَارُ مَنْ يُنَبِّهُ عَلَىٰ عَيْبِهِ مِنْ أَصْدِقَاءِ الصِّدْقِ, and he has to also prefer and choose friends, associates, who will now alert him to any of the defects that he has. So having righteous companionship, people that you are able to have such a relationship that they can say anything to you. Sometimes, unfortunately, even our friends, our relationships that we have made, you don't like being told things that we don't like. So having a very close friend that will be, you know, helpful enough to say to you straight to your face that, you know what you did the other day was quite wrong. But then I guess, to be honest, the opposite is quite true, where everyone is brave enough to say everything and anything to you anyway. So it has to be done with sincerity and wanting good for another person. And he carries on to say, فَإِنَّهُمْ يَنْذُرُونَ إِلَىٰ عُيُوبِهِ وَيُذَكِّرُونَهُ بِهَا, because these people, they will look for these things and try to want the goodness for you, and they will remind you of it. وَنَظَرُوا إِلَىٰ النَّاسِ فَإِنَّهُمْ مِرْآتِ, a person should also glance towards other people, not in a way to kind of see who's better, but in a way to see what are positive qualities in other people that I can now adopt in my own self as well. وَالْتَذْكِرَةُ لِكُلِّ طَالِبٍ مُسْتَبْصِرٌ, and to take reminders from every student who has this level of foresight. ثُمَّ إِزَالَةُ الْأَسْبَابِ, and then afterwards, finally, we need to try to find a way to get rid of the actual causes. وَارْتِكَابُ الْفَضِيلَةِ الْمُقَابِلَةِ, and to adopt the virtuous opposing traits. وَالتَّكَلُّفْ فِي تَحْصِيلِهَا, and we have to make an effort. This word takalluf refers to trying hard and pushing yourself in order to obtain these virtues, because we have to practice hard for any sort of achievement, for it to become second to nature. إِذْ الْأَمْرَاضُ تُعَالِجُ بِالْأَضْدَادِ, because the illnesses, they are only treated with its opposites. كَمَا أَنَّ الصِّحَةَ تُحْفَظُ بِالْأَنْدَادِ, the way having good health or these good qualities are only going to be perfected and protected with similar likes. Now what does that mean? It means that the only way a person, once you've now tried to bring in these qualities, the way you now keep it inside you, because a person can try to go on a period of this Ramadan, let's say, a month of fasting and trying our best in worship to raise our level. But what happens afterwards? So now, if you want to keep all the goodness that you have brought into yourself, the way it's preserved and kept is now if you surround yourself with similar-minded people as well. And they will be in such a way that they will help you carry on this journey. It's very, very important that we try to, you know, the way you do this is you go to particular gatherings. You go to, you know, talks and events and wherever there's a bayan taking place, or whether there's an imam or a scholar doing a bayan, and you go and you see if there's any people that you end up striking conversation with, and slowly, like this, hopefully you might end up bumping into people. Naturally, you strike up conversation and a friendship, and hopefully, somehow, you now are able to surround yourself with good individuals. Similarly, he mentions, ثُمَّ تَعْنِيفُ بِالتَّعْيِيرِ وَالتَّوْبِيخِ فِي السِّرِّ وَالْعَلَانِيَةِ, that you should also go ahead to now rebuke and look down and, you know, try to completely reject these evil traits and characteristics inside yourself and openly. ثُمَّ الرَّذِيلَ الْمُقَابِلَةِ, and also those opposing filthy attitudes. فَلْيُحْفَظْ حَتَّى لَا يَتَجَاوَزْ إِلَى الطَّرْفِ الْآخَرِ, and this should be protected until the person doesn't transgress, until he goes into, as we spoke about, from being in the perfect balance of perfection, he now starts leaning towards transgressing. ثُمَّ الرِّيَاضَاتَ الشَّاقَّةِ, and he should also take on some type of exercises, difficult exercises, meaning practicing. What he's referring to over here is practicing or exercises of the heart. Sometimes just forcing sort of habits inside yourself. For example, when it comes to food, this is going to come later on, then a practice might be that you limit yourself to the amount of types of food that you eat. You limit yourself to the how late you eat. And of course, when it comes to a particular, you know, this, all these sort of things that we are mentioning over here is really and truly attained if a person aligns himself with a qualified sheikh. And the qualified sheikh will be the one that gives him these tasks to do, a particular type of dhikr, a particular advice to do some tahajjud, or these sort of things, and he sticks to it. Anyway, he clarifies. So what are the different types of ways? كَالنُّذُورِ وَالْأَيْمَانِ وَالْعُهُودِ عَلَى الْتِزَامِ الْأَعْمَالِ الشَّاقَّةِ, that sometimes you might have to go through by taking oath and promising to yourself that, you know what, if I don't maintain my 5 daily salah, then the following week I'm going to fast optionally. So doing these sort of exercises to get yourself to make sure you are being forced almost to do these good actions. حَتَّى تُذِعِنَا مَا هُوَ أَسْهَلَ مِنْهَا بِالطِّيبِ وَالسُّهُولَةِ, to the extent to where it reaches that you are now submitting to yourself with a level of ease and naturally to do or to maintain these good practices. وَاسْتِمَاعِ مَا وَرَدَ فِي ذَنْبِ سُوءٍ خُلُقٍ إِجْمَالًا وَتَفْصِيلًا, and to be very attentive of whatever has been narrated regarding the blameworthy characteristics. Okay, so we kind of spent a bit too long. I wanted to mention a few ahadith. We mentioned one narration, inshallah, then we'll finish over here. So it's mentioned by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَا مِن ذَنْبٍ أَعْظَمَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ مِن سُوءِ الْخُلُقِ وَذَلِكَ لِأَنَّ صَاحِبَهُ لَا يَخْرُجُ مِن ذَنْبٍ إِلَّا وَقَعَ فِي ذَنْبٍ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ, that there is no sin which is more severe to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than evil akhlaq, to have bad qualities and characteristics. And that is because the person who has these bad akhlaq, he does not come out from any other sin except he's going to fall into another sin. It's going to be a case that your qualities inside you, you might try one day to pluck yourself away from sin, but if you haven't taken the root cause away, then it's just a matter of time where you're just going to keep falling into the same repetition of a different sin but another day. So this is the root of all evils essentially. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all tawfiq to be able to perfect our akhlaq, our mannerisms, and to protect all our limbs from all different types of sins. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanallah bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta wa nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.
into the microphone.